the way this is my description of Helin and East right now. It's like Joe Biden trying to break dance. It's not very good rhythm.
You can't guard me in the paint. I'm an artist. See, I hustle on the flow. Call me Rick Ross. See the troop get it jumping like a tip off. I play hard till I hit a rep, blow the whistle. I'm a player, but my game be so official.
Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Troop. Got the fellows with me. Up in my upper left corner, I'm going to start with you, Coach Larson, down in Norwalk. How are things your way tonight?
Other than the Bears blowing another lead, we're doing pretty good.
Doug, down in Pella, how are things down in Pella-dice tonight?
Pella-dice is beautiful this time of the year. Christmas coming around. Couldn't be better. Love this time of the year with all the college kids coming back, hooping at the gym. So good times here.
A lot of fun and a busy week, too. We've had a lot of three, four nights full of games going into Saturday, which Tom up there in our northwest corner, I know you guys had a big tournament going on this weekend. How are things up your way?
Great. Super weekend of basketball at the Baumgars Invitational. Saw teams from all over the place. It was a lot of fun.
Always fun. Can't wait to catch up on that. I see the Creighton Jays shirt on. Tough one for the Drake women today. Creighton came over here and put it to them. That team's pretty good. They had a couple players out there that I was pretty impressed with. So it'll be fun to see what the Jays are able to do here the rest of the year. And then joining us for the first time this official season, our guy, the expert, Tony Rowe. Tony, welcome. How's things going your way?
Things are going very well. Just finished up my last college class on Thursday. So now officially a college graduate.
Yeah.
Years late, but
hey, the great John Belushi once said, 7 years of college down the drain.
doesn't matter how long it takes you, as long as you get there, it all
absolutely
spells out the same. So, well, good for you. We're glad to have you back on, and we're gonna jump into hopefully all these Eastern Iowa questions that we've had the last couple times we've met. Feel like we don't know what's going on your way, so can't wait to catch up with you and hear how everything's going. Well, with that, guys, let's jump right into this. Looking at how things went, I want to start right on the top. We were talking a little bit off air to kind of get things going tonight. Pet peeves. Okay, we have a few of them. I'm going to start with what we've seen on out-of-bounds plays. So, Larson, you know, I'm going to be coming your way here in just a second. We've started to see maybe either some lax in thinking and what we're trying to run, or some laziness, or I think there's a little bit of trying to outthink the room a little bit on some of these plays. But Larson, you mentioned this is one of your pet peeves. What have you seen from out of bounds? Is this mostly baseline out of bounds, some sideline out of bounds, everything?
I think it's both. Sideline out of bounds, no one runs sideline out of bounds anymore. They just get it in and pass it around and shoot it. And so that's just kind of a common theme. But also, underneath, so one thing I always felt was really important is to run your action so you're coming back towards the ball to meet the pass. I was watching a lot of college basketball yesterday, and I think I saw three times where they're running the, you know, everyone, I never ran this personally, I'm not saying that, but a lot of people are running 1-4 across low and just trying lobbing it in. And it's leading to layups on the other end. I think that happened actually in the Creighton game. Speaking of Creighton, I was watching that. And then I know what happened in the Purdue game as well. It just, I don't know. I think that's, I don't know why everyone wants to pass it away from instead of run your actions so that it's coming back towards the hoop and towards the ball so you can make the pass.
Well, the other thing, and I'll just chirp in here real quick on those, what scares me is there's no pick to get them open. They're just relying on athleticism to get open. And if I agree with you 100%, Lars, that it's a high risk inbounds.
Yeah. I honestly loved it when teams ran it against us. Because you kind of be prepped for it. And sometimes it may be the guy guarding them, or you tell your guards who are typically in the corners to just read it and be like, hey, kind of start sneaking almost like a D-back or a safety would do, and go tap it away, and they're going to be faster to the ball.
So what do you run? More of a triangle, pick the picker type thing?
Yeah, box. I mean, no one runs box sets or
offset box sets or anything
offsets,
like that.
Offsets, a triangle. You could even run some of that stuff out of 1-4, but like go up and then come back. Like you could, you know, have that person go up and then come set a screen to bring them back. Yeah. I don't know. I will just say in general, it seems like a lot of out of bounds plays are based on getting the ball in and then running action after the ball's inbounded. Like the guy, you know, where the inbounder's coming in off a double, or you're running more things like off of the action once the ball's inbounds.
I don't know if any of you guys have ever coached a bad middle school basketball team, but when I did, we prayed for out of bounds underneath because those were the best opportunities for us to score. And when I became a high school coach, I didn't lose that philosophy because I just think that there are so many opportunities to score directly out of bounds under. And those two times or three times you do a game could be the difference between winning and losing.
Coach Howard, my buddy, when he was at Des Moines East and they were struggling some years, he said, I swear to God, if we are tied or down one at the end of the game, we're going to stall and run right under the hoop and call timeout so we can run an out of bounds play.
I think the best out-of-bounds play, Larson, I got from you was you would park Jake Logan right under the hoop.
Right under the basket. Yep.
Right under the basket. He put his hands on his head. I don't know if that meant anything. And he just lobbed it right up the rim. He'd go get it and put it right in. And no one could stop it. He just put it up by the rim. Best play you can run. I don't know why more teams don't do that. Because usually the guy guarding him is facing him. So he's not watching the ball. And you just throw it up there, Jake, get it, boop, easy points.
Obviously, Jake was awesome because he was big and athletic. But you put your best athlete there or maybe a mismatch. And now the thing was, if they got up into you, then we'd run like pick the picker out of that set. Like he'd go set a – so anyways, I've been watching. And you know how everything lags down? I think that started in the college game where guys just are like, we want to just get it in bounds. Instead of using it as an offensive play – and then I think it's trickled down into high school too a little bit.
I would agree. I think that has a big impact on you. See those guys at the higher levels running some stuff because they have different athletes and different people that are able to do stuff and they try to filter it down and doesn't always work, but it is a good opportunity. I know I talked about it actually on our last pod. Love when that ball goes out underneath the hoop when you, Tom, like you said, when your team is less than talented because it gives you an opportunity to get a really good chance to get a basket. So that's a good one.
Everybody agreed? No one runs sideline out of bounds anymore.
No. I no.
They have something in for end of game, but they never run anything during the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't see that anymore at all. That was always kind of a good opportunity to get a quick hit, two or three, like just push to the opposite corner or skip or whatever it ends up being. But yeah, it's mostly just throw it in. Throw it in the backcourt, go get it, let's run our stuff. You don't see as much of that anymore. Tom, sounds like maybe we're missing out. We're missing the one-on-one a little bit here a few weeks in now, huh?
I'm missing it just because of these tight games. I like it for three quarters. I'm switching to Doug Deere's camp a little bit. But I miss the end of the game having to make a one-on-one, having to make the front end. It's I think it's more pressure on those teams or on that player to go up and convert the front end. Not that it's easy to make one out of two, but I think anymore you're pretty much guaranteed a point of possession then if they're in the double bonus. And I just kind of miss the pressure that goes with it in that fourth quarter.
Hey, Brian, make sure you mark that tape. Mark it on the tape so we can – that's agreed with me.
But – let's talk about the real infractions going on. My pet peeve of pulling out your jersey when you file out of a game. If you played for me, you know I'm a fun hater. Okay, I didn't allow headbands, shooting sleeves. You know, none of that. You know, tights. None of that extra stuff. And then I just watch and I see these kids as soon as they file out of a game, or as soon as the game's over, we have to untuck our jerseys. And I'm like, is it that uncomfortable to have a jersey tucked in and just look like I'm still part of the team? I even called Doug. I said, I think it used to be an infraction if it was before the game was done.
I do know if you take your jersey off for sure. Like if you pull your jersey up over your head, it's supposed to be technical. But if untucking your jersey is, I don't think it's anything.
Okay. Well, it should be. I'm gonna put that in along with some other recommendations I have.
Oh, I can't wait to hear those.
Let's not make more rules, though.
No starting line, no dancing in the starting lineup. I don't like that either. I mean, the list can go on and on.
Hey, Tom, what about celebrating on every three-pointer you make, like tapping your head, doing the bow and arrow?
Bow and the arrow.
Well, as a former postman, we didn't have any two-point deals that we did. Hey, I made a layup, a two in the air, you know? I mean, no, they just do their jobs, what they do.
They do the too small. The big too small, you score in the post.
Oh, the Luka Garza, yeah.
Can we get – how far are we from just getting rid of the starting lineup? Can we do that?
I vote yes.
Well, I know that, Tom. I knew you were on my
Hey, look at these 10 great people that get a start tonight, everybody, and they get to go dance on the floor. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
The handshakes and everything, you don't like that? Like,
no, hate it all. No, I don't like it all. Dressing each other down.
Well, now a lot of these places, they turn the lights off, and they have a whole light show going on.
And a hype video. Yeah, like the whole thing. And yet, Tom, you still want your sixth person to feel just the same as those other five.
Again, it's we're in a me world. I mean, if they want attention, they go back to Twitter or Instagram.
There you go.
I don't know. I guess I should probably start hanging outside the front of my house at night, just making sure I'm not getting egged.
Or make sure no one's going on your lawn. You better yell at them if they come on there your lawn. The international sign for I'm done, untucking the shirt. It's funny, though, because it happens, I bet, 95% of the time when a kid, doesn't matter if who or what the kid is, I bet it happens 95% of the time. And, I don't know. That's interesting. That's an interesting thing that now everybody is going to probably pay closer attention to. And so when we get to those five fouls, Doug, coaches yelling at refs. This is a pet peeve that you had mentioned, specifically when down by a significant amount, and it's pretty well in hand. Take us down that journey a little bit for you.
Yeah, and I have no problem with coaches talking to refs or, you know, giving refs the business, because some of them honestly deserve it. But when you're down 20, 25 in the third quarter, and you kind of know you should realize you're not better than the other team. And then it starts to get to 30 and you're still complaining about travel calls and maybe a block charge instead of just coaching your kids. It's like, I don't think the referees are the reason you're down 30. So, and today, Kim Mulkey, they were up 40 points and she was complaining about the referees. Now, Kim Mulkey's a different person, and she gets tossed out of the game. I'm like, really? That's what we're doing? But I don't know. When is it enough? Is it enough? A 20-point lead in the first half? Can you still argue, or, you know, at what point do you say, okay, let's put the subs in, let's move on here?
Yeah, you know, we talked about it on our group message. I just said it's a little bit of a loaded question because I think that it can go both ways. I've obviously been on both sides of that. Sometimes you might be surprised it's harder to turn that off as a coach. Like there might be a game you go into it thinking it's going to be a really close game, and all of a sudden it is not, and it's you don't even sometimes realize like the rationality of that. So that's in defense of the coaches. I will tell you though, as a coach though too, and I know Doug, you even said this, like, I think it's a fine line because I don't think refs can just stop working either just because they think the game is out of control, you know, and that's just where I said, I think it's a loaded question because I will tell you, if you're getting whooped and the refs are just like, what do you care? Your team stinks anyways. That's not a great thing to get after. I don't know. I just think it just depends on the situation, personally.
Well, I'll add to that, Chris. And that's so I've been evaluating refs for the last couple of years. And one thing I always tell them, especially in games that are 20-point, 25-point, and they're kind of getting out of hand, referee the whole game. Don't just because they put their subs in, those kids
at the end, that's what I mean,
they deserve to be officiated and go to the foul line. I always tell them, officiate until the very end of the game because they deserve it just as much as everybody else. So that actually is another pet peeve I have of officials. Don't stop reffing. You're getting paid to do this. Continue to ref until the very end of the game.
But I do think one thing we could say about both sides of that, Doug, is maybe there's a more amiable way to say that when that's the score. Like, you could have that discussion without yelling or throwing a tantrum if that's the spot that they get. You know what I mean? If you're, like, frustrated, it can be a, hey, I know we're getting beat here, but, like, can you just, you know, whatever the case may be. I think you could have a – that's like working together in my book instead of making it, like, argumentative.
Well, okay, I saw a game. I was watching the game. I won't say what teams. But it was almost like, and this was a younger coach, and it was almost like he was arguing with the officials. Now, they were down 20-plus, but it was almost like he was arguing with the officials to make it look like he was coaching.
Coaching, yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, yeah. I'm gonna argue because it's going to make me look better as a coach. I don't know. I've seen that before where you get a young guy and he's yelling at the rest, like, okay, stop. You got to coach your kid. But that's just my opinion, I guess.
I have to share one of the crazy, this is maybe the greatest, the funniest thing I've ever seen in a long time. Valley and Norwalk on Saturday. And I told you these Saturday games are just kind of weird, but Valley shoots, misses, but it kind of was a loose ball rebound and Norwalk goes and gets it, takes about two dribbles and the ref blows the whistle and it's quiet in there. And it just clears the air. It's like, I think he said, son, you got to take the ball out of bounds. And everybody in the gym, like, you could hear a pin drop because everybody's like, what are you talking about? And so the ref, like, met up and got together. And then he just blows his whistle and out of bounds.
Well, so he thought it, like, went through the net or something?
Apparently. I mean, I have no idea. You could hear him say, you've got to take the ball out of bounds because it was pretty quiet in the gym. And it was just a strange time for the whistle to be blown as well. So, anyways, it was funny.
That's interesting. Wow. Yeah, it's even tougher, like you said, when it's everybody can hear the conversation and what's going on. Always makes it a little bit tougher. But I actually want to – so let's piggyback off that because I wanted to mention that. Let's jump into 4A. It seems like kind of an interesting week in 4A here as we move through. You talked about that game yesterday with Norwalk and Valley down at Norwalk. You know, good battle between those two teams. Valley did end up kind of stretching it out there towards the end and getting the win. What did you see overall from both teams that you kind of like or excited about with that matchup, Larson?
Two of the best guards in the state, in my opinion. You know, we really like Reddick down here in Norwalk, and it was a tough night. Their length, it wasn't his best shooting night, but still a lot of, when you have that dominant guard, it's easier for you to stay in games. And I will tell you, I like watching Curtis Stinson play. He is he is not going to be the leading scorer in the state, but he's going to be about a triple double every night and then add on five steals. And he impacts the game so much. And Jurek is really good inside. They're just so long and athletic. That was without Zay Robinson, too. So, obviously, they're really one of the great teams in Central Iowa right now. I think it's going to be kind of interesting from the Norwalk side. They play DCG on Thursday. And, you know, I think that's going to – as far as the Little Hawkeye teams go, I think they're both a little better than Indianola this year. And I think you want to be the top Little Hawkeye team, so that when the rankings and when the seedings come out, that you kind of get a little bit maybe put away from the Valley and the Centennials and have maybe a chance at maybe, you know, not that they're still not going to be a challenge, but maybe some of those second tier teams in the Central Iowa.
Have you had a chance to see DCG play yet? I've heard really good things.
I have not seen them yet.
Really tough. Okay. Well, I'll be interested to hear what your input is after Thursday. Get an opportunity because everything that I've seen has mostly been scores has been pretty impressive. And then the people I've talked to, they're really good. So
yeah, I talked to Joel a little bit on Saturday and he was pretty coy about it. I'll tell you that much.
He's not going to show you, tell you nothing. So
he was pretty coy. So I, which I think means that he thinks he likes his team.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably the better sign. Tom, let's take me up your way. Sioux City East ended up dropping one to Waukee Northwest, right, up there. Yeah. What was the deal with that?
It was a slow start for the Raiders. They got down 14 in the first quarter. put some full court pressure on. And one thing they can do, and maybe it, this is what Raz has to do. He's got 10 really athletic kids, and they got after it for a quarter, and they went into half up 7. And then Norwalk figured some things out and ended up winning that game by 10 down at the Tyson Event Center. So it was a good game. Again, I don't know how Waukee Northwest measures up down in Central Iowa, but it was a good test for East. I think East is going to be if they keep playing this way and figure out some offense, they'll be they're going to be a tough team come playoff time.
Good.
Like I said, I think between up here in 3A, 4A, the way this is my description of Helan and East right now, it's like Joe Biden trying to break dance. It's not very good rhythm. Okay.
Jeez. What can you tell? Go ahead. You got something else to add?
No, I just saying they've been up and down, and there's just I think both those teams got a chance at the end of the year to be pretty good, but right now there's just not a lot of rhythm in them.
East still going 14 deep?
Yeah, they're playing 10, 11 guys. Yeah. But, that was a good game, and saw a lot of the good ones at the Tyson Event Center as well.
Have you seen or heard anything on CB Lincoln?
I've seen that they've just, they've been winning. I think that they'll be, in the Missouri River Conference, they'll be a top three team. But they lost their point guard to Council Bluffs Thomas Jefferson. And TJ, mini shout out to the Lynx. They're having a great year. Their lone loss, I think, is to Sioux City East by 10. But they put together a nice little team this year and playing pretty tough.
Yeah, I saw where CB Lincoln was 5-1, so I didn't know what that was looking like. But interesting. We'll have to keep an eye on.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
Before you head out east, just wanted to mention, I think Waukee should definitely, from Central Iowa, be put in that same breath as Centennial and Valley right now. I did watch their game online sometime this week. They are really long and athletic. Jacobson's really good. And then Rogers, his dad was an old roommate of mine and a good buddy. And Jaden's really taken his game to another level out there. And Tony will know. They have a really good shooter as well. Angelino, what's his name? It's something like an Italian name. Anyways, they I think are equally as good as those other two.
I think it's interesting because Waukee is the better of the two, and then Ankeny, the Hawks, are better of the two. I think. I mean, Centennial's still pretty good. That one, I think, is maybe a little bit more.
I think Centennial. Well, I don't know. We'll see.
That one maybe a little closer, but it's interesting.
Who's ranked higher, Tony?
You got the Hawks. Hawks are what, 6-1, and Centennial's 4-2.
I mean, we'll find out here soon. They play on Tuesday night. So
Tuesday, right?
Tuesday. Well, there you go. It would all of our answers will come to fruition on Tuesday. Actually, no, we still won't know anything. But it's interesting to see where everybody else kind of stacks up here. Is it's outside of Valley, a really, really kind of wide open to figure out who in Central Iowa is going to make that next step. But let's move out east. So one of the games I guess highlighted was that Linmar win, Tony, over Iowa City West. What did you see? Did you get a chance to watch or see any of that? And what were your takeaways after Linmar was able to pull that one out?
Yeah, no, I haven't had a chance to go back and watch the tape of that one yet, but that's a really nice win for Linmar. West had kind of been cruising through the first four games that are scheduled, and it sounds like it was kind of a back and forth game until midway through the fourth quarter, and then Linmar just kind of got a few stops in a row, got a kill shot, and then ended it with a flurry of dunks. So they don't go very deep from what I've heard, but they're six or seven that do play really well together, and they've got a star in Davis Kern, who's probably one of the best players in the state.
That's be interesting. Linmar is back, so we'll be anxious to keep an eye on them. Kennedy obviously continues to roll. One of the favorites coming into this year, 4-0. Anything really kind of stood out with you so far with Cedar Rapids, Kennedy?
Yeah, so they beat Cedar Falls on Tuesday night in a tight game. was listening to Jeff Johnson on his podcast earlier this week, and sounded like that game was kind of played in a similar style to the Pleasant Valley game from the state tournament last year that knocked Kennedy off. So I think kind of having that experience from last year and actually getting tested in the regular season a few times this year could be good for the Cougars long term.
Yeah, it's always nice to be able to have a couple of those games wake you up and be able to evaluate a little bit. What do you tell me about Dubuque Senior? It looks like that we got them sitting at 5-0, one of the best gyms in the state. What do you know about Senior?
Deep, athletic. They will get up into you and defend you really tough. That's actually where I'm going to be on Tuesday night. They host Linmar in a big game there on Tuesday. So looking forward to learning more about both teams in that one.
Oh, that'll be good. Both of them 5-0, right? It looks like. So that'll be a good matchup on Tuesday. And then North Scott. What can you tell me about North Scott? Looks like I got them at 5-1. What's the deal out that way?
Yeah, they're really going to be probably the best team in the MAC this year. Thought it was going to be Pleasant Valley going into the season, but North Scott has a freshman that I'm going to talk about a little later who's kind of a star for them already. And then they've just got a really deep, balanced team with a lot of different – they can throw a lot of different looks at you, especially on the defensive end. Really long, really athletic. So it's a lot of fun to watch.
And then one last one, Bettendorf. What do we know about Bett?
Off to a decent start. Caden Wilkins is the best senior in the state. So anytime you've got a kid who can go off for 40 on any given night, you're going to be tough. Dropped a tough one in the Iowa-Illinois shootout on Saturday against a good Sterling team from Illinois. But their only other loss was to Linmar by 4. So they're putting together a decent little start to the season here.
That's good. I like to hear that. I like to get a little more insight on what's going on that side. That helps us a lot as we move to 3A. Let's move to 3A and to start 3A. Obviously, we have two guys on the board to be able to, once ratings start coming out, we dive into 3A quite a bit. But we also have the guru, Doug Deers, and he's going to make his 3A pick of the week. Who is going to cut down the nets in March in Class 3A, Doug?
Well, I'll help you guys. I'll give you a little rundown here of 3A. Of course, 3A is always interesting, but I was looking at Bound here. There's only 5 undefeated teams already in 3A. We're not even the Christmas break, and there's only 5 teams that haven't lost. Nevada, 7-0. Looks like Solon's 5-0. Williamsburg's 5-0. Clear Lake's 5-0. And Decorah is 6-0. But I'm going to ride with my Healing Crusaders, us. Keelan versus everyone. I'm buying the T-shirt, so I'm sticking with you, Tommy.
Well, you know they say you're either first or last.
We're gonna be first.
Oh, there you go. Sticking with Keelan. Although sitting at 5-2, but schedule strength obviously in their favor and what they've done here so far. And as Tom so vividly described earlier, still got a few things to work out. Still got to get in that rhythm.
Christmas break is going to be good for them, and I think a lot of teams just to kind of, especially if they had a little football hangover from going deep in the playoffs. And yeah. Helan's one of those. If you want to talk 3A up here in Northwest Iowa, I will tell you, I still think Helan's the team to beat. But, you know, Matt Knoll is having a heck of a year. He's a 6'8 senior that's really very dominant. And, but the Crusaders need to get some other guys consistently involved in that. That offensive side of the ball, and that'll come, I think, throughout the year. MOC Floyd Valley, they've had a tough start to the year, but Jesse Van Kalsbeek, their best player, has been out, just was cleared to play a little bit here the last week, and he's probably one of the state's better 3A players as well. And then Sergeant Bluff Luton, again, Adam Vanderskaff is the master of putting a team on the floor that can compete, and he'll have his guys ready by tournament time. But then you go, you know, Lamar's, I think, is down a little bit in 3A. And then, you know, just a little bit further south, Carroll is off to a nice start this year, too.
I was going to mention that to Doug. Before we get to that, though, Doug, Storm Lake, Tom, you know anything on Storm Lake?
I was going to try to get on and watch them a little bit. I don't know how strong their schedule's been so far, but they've been playing. They've been winning some games.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see. Probably a little too early to to take a look, but that might be one that I'd like to keep on your radar. See what you think. Yeah, Carroll, Doug, I'm surprised that didn't come up in your initial rundown. What have you seen or like the Carroll Tigers?
They actually play Bondurant on Tuesday, and I'm actually heading over to Bondurant to watch them. They got a lot of guys that have played a lot for them, led by Senior, but they're just solid. They're 5-1. They got beat, I think, by Ballard just on Friday. So yep, Ballard's they're 4-2, and have lost. They beat Norwalk, but have lost some games they probably should have won. But I'm actually curious to watch them on Tuesday to see kind of how they're coming together, and just to see how far my Bondurant Farrar Blue Jays have fallen.
Mentioned Nevada too. They got a big week. Rolling Story in Webster City. Yeah. So that'll be two interesting ones to see how they're able to go into break. You know, if they can go into break looking at 9-0, I would feel like old Tyler Strzok and the Cubs up there would have to feel pretty good about how things are going there. ADM too is a team that I've got to watch. I've watched a couple times. I saw them play Bondurant. I saw the fourth quarter against Boone. And they got some nice kids too. I'll be anxious to see how, you know, they took one on the chin against DCG to open things up, but really kind of slowly starting to find their groove. Got some seniors in there too. That'll be interesting. Solon, Tony, what do you see or liked with Solon so far?
Yeah, I watched them play against West Branch yesterday. They've got a really good wing scorer named Jake Benzing. He's like 6'3", 6'4", shoots the crap out of it. And then they've got just a lot of really nice athletic wings around him. They're not overly tall. You know, Benzing's probably their tallest kid, but just about across the board, they're like 6'2", 6'3", athletic and long. They play a lot of 1-3-1. Which Solon kind of became known for under Brad Randall years ago. And with their length and athleticism, they just kind of frustrate teams a lot defensively and then have some nice pieces around Benzing. So they're probably a top 10-ish team in 3A right now. Haven't been tested too much by the schedule yet, but we should learn a little bit more about them coming out of the break.
What about Williamsburg? What have you seen or heard with them?
Derek Weisskopf, headed to Iowa to play football, is one of the better players in 3A. And then they've got some good role players around him. They're pretty inexperienced, so kind of easing into this into the season with a pretty soft schedule to start the year has been beneficial for them. And I think they'll be a team that really benefits from having some extra practices over the break, because they get tested a little bit more out of the break here.
And then Assumption, the team that loves to fly under the radar.
Assumption's going to be pretty good. Navon Shabazz, who's the top sophomore in the state, just moved back up from Florida and is their leader. And they're another team, kind of like Solon, that doesn't have tremendous size, but they're all really athletic and they're long, and they love to attack the bucket with all their athletic guards. And then you've got one of the best players in the state already in Shabazz, who's a really difficult player to defend in 3A basketball.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that works, as they're always tested with that schedule that they play and ready come postseason, scary come postseason. Larson, did you get a chance to see these Decorah Vikings on tape at all? What have you found out with those guys?
Kind of had done some research. I think the two teams that we have not talked about, and obviously both sitting undefeated, is Decorah and Clear Lake. And let's be honest, both those two have been kind of dominating their area in recent years. So I think Clear Lake play they play somebody good this week that I was looking at. Algona. I thought they beat Waverly Shell Rock last week, which I thought was a good win for them, and then they play Algona on Tuesday, so I'm looking forward to seeing that one. So there's still some things to map out. And then Cora plays an undefeated Hudson team on Thursday. So it's like Doug said, 3A is really fun right now. I don't know, you can kind of toss the names in the hat. And I think you could right now make an argument for about 12, 15 teams to be the best team right now.
You mentioned that Algona game should be a good one. And then after break on the 9th, I was just looking, they play Nevada. So that'll be a good one to see where they're at. We talked a little bit in the group text. That Decorah game that they had against New Hampton, 109-44 was the score of it. But the crazy thing about that was that 37 assists in the game broke the previous state record of 28. I mean, 37 assists is wild. I mean,
I know says something about your team, doesn't it? You're sharing the ball. You're moving the ball.
Yeah, I mean, between that and then one of their kids, looks like Trey McCain, had 14 assists himself too. So just, I don't know. I don't know if we're doing these hockey assists where everyone who touches the ball got an assist or what. But that's pretty awesome. Pretty impressive to see those, and it'd be anxious to continue to follow them. Like you said, 3A is going to be fun as it usually is. Things kind of get all shaken up. Anybody, I'm trying to see. I don't think what Xavier, Marion, either one of those two teams, Tony, your way too. I guess I didn't mention them. Anything that you see from those guys yet?
Xavier's got a chance to do something. They're pretty young. They play, or they start two sophomores and then play a third as their sixth man off the bench. So they're young, but they're awfully talented. They've played a pretty tough schedule so far. You know, they've got wins over Waverly Shell Rock, and their losses are to Cedar Falls and Linmar. So two top 10 teams in 4A. So they're kind of like Assumption and Healing, you know, playing against a bunch of 4A schools throughout the year. They're going to be tough to beat in the playoffs because of what they see throughout the year.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, yeah, a lot to keep an eye on, a lot to follow as 3A continues to move through and they get more into their conference schedules as well. Shifting then to 2A, I think maybe one of the biggest headlines, Larson, Grandview Christian making the jump up. What are we sitting 2A. At? Two and three now. Is that right? Did I see that right? The old Chris Larson Christian struggling a little bit. What's the deal? You know anything on some jeans and jumpers?
Well, I know they lost. They lost a lot. They still have some big guys, but let's cut them a little bit of slack. They did lose to Des Moines North. They lost to a 5-1 McFokota team, and then they lost to Omaha Scott, which I think Tom was just saying has a pretty nice squad as well. And they lost by 3.
I watched that game.
Picking up their schedule a little bit, and you know, good for them.
Put it this way: if they're taking Omaha Scott, which they did, that was anyone's game. They're going to be a handful
for a 2A team. 2A, right?
I had to bring it up. Hey, we give them their flowers all the time. We got to go and give them some criticism too. But if they're testing themselves, they're going to figure some stuff out. Then I'm definitely here for it. And they're doing that as they move up a class too this year and figure out where they're at. So 2A though, going down, Tom, is it Western Christians to lose or what are we thinking here in 2A?
No, but I'll tell you what, Caden Van Regenmorter. I saw him on Tuesday night come into the O'Gorman Fieldhouse against Heelan. They came out of there with a 3-point win, I think it was, against the Crusaders. And Van Regenmorter, if you remember this kid, he's been playing since freshman year. He's now added the 3-pointer to his arsenal. He is a tough guard. They're typical Western team. That being said, I know West Line up here is playing some very good basketball. I think those are my two top 2A teams up here. Central Lyon, Unity Christian, solid teams, but I think the cream of the crop is probably those first two.
I do agree. Doug, what about Kemper?
Yeah, before I move on, Tommy, did you go to the Dakota Valley Western game on Saturday?
I could not go. I was tuning into it a little bit through some friends, and apparently it was one of the best games. It was the best game of the tournament, and Dakota Valley kept their winning streak going. Ended up being 3 or 5 points against Western. So it was a battle.
Yeah, that's what I had heard too. That was a state tournament quality game. And Dakota Valley, for people that don't know, Dakota Valley's just across the river in Sioux City, Dakota Dunes, and actually coached by a good friend of mine, Jason Kleiss, and they have won 57 straight games. It's the longest streak in the nation right now. So they've won back-to-back titles. And then I know that was a big one for Kleiser to knock off Western. Yeah, shout out to the Dakota Valley Panthers and Coach Kleis. Kemper will probably, they're 6-1. They'll probably go undefeated until they play Helan, I think, after the break. Looks like Helan comes down there. Tommy, you'll get to take in O'Carroll Kemper Gymnasium. On,
yeah, you have any charge accounts down there still? I could have a little lunch.
Yeah, just tell them it's on me, Doug Deers. Okay. That's perfectly fine. So, but they're good. They got inside, outside. They got shooters. Yeah, they lost first game to Carroll, buzzer beater. So now they're 6-1. They beat Van Meter by one. Lanning, Green County. So they're good. They're really good, actually.
That Van Meter win, I got them here on the list. It'd be interesting, although they just dropped one to Earlham, I think, on Friday. We'll talk about Earlham here in a minute once we get to 1A. But, I'd be interested to see what Van Meter is able to do. Your way, Tony Hudson, Monticello, what do you got on those guys, either one of those two?
Yeah, Hudson is probably the best team over here right now. Nice win over AP last week or 2 weeks ago, I guess now. There you go, about seven deep with kids who can all fill it up. Camden Davis is their best player, 6'4" senior. He can score inside and out. And they've got three or four kids who I think you feel pretty comfortable with them handling the ball. So they've got a lot of playmakers. They share the ball really well. They're kind of like Decora in that way, in that they can all kind of create for themselves, but they all really like to dish it too. Monticello had a nice win against Cascade on Tuesday night. I was over there for that one. The Panthers were playing without one starter and had two others who were really sick, and they're a team that probably only goes about six deep to begin with. So obviously a little shorthanded, but still came away with a nice win. Preston Reese is a super athletic forward who's going to go play linebacker at Iowa. He's kind of a menace that a lot of teams over in this area can't really match up with physically or athletically. But they put a lot of talented shooters around him too. So it's not just the Preston Reese show. Tim Lambert's built a really good program there at Monticello, and they just keep trucking along.
They have won a lot of games here lately. West Burlington, do you know anything about West Burlington?
I haven't seen them play yet. I know that they've got two really good guards, Mason Watkins and Brady Martin, who were starters for them last year. And each of them are probably about 20-point-a-game scorers who can really shoot it from deep. So they're the biggest school in their conference, and they just kind of roll over everybody down there, so they don't get tested very much. I think they're going to step out of conference here sometime soon and test themselves a little bit. So hopefully we can learn a little bit more about them coming up out of the break.
Good. I'm going to throw this name out. I don't know who this would be to, but anybody, Osage? I see them at 8-0. Do we know anything about Osage?
Yeah,
Larson, that seems like maybe a Larson. Tom, you got something on him?
Well, you know what I know about Osage? it's the home of Mark Mole, my former teammate. That's all I know.
What about the basketball team at sitting at 8-0 right now? Anything?
I don't know about that.
Larson, anything for me?
No, I can't say that I do. It's been a while, I think, since Osage has been down here, though. So good for them. Let's see if they keep it up.
Yeah,
the green Hawks or something.
Green Devils.
Yeah,
Green Devils. Thank you.
That's a cool mascot. They got that going, and they're 8-0. So we'll have to pay attention and see what's going on. We mentioned it earlier.
Here's a fun fact for you, though, Brian.
Yep.
Nick Cockrum, who is best friends with Jason Van Merschbergen, who's Des Moines Christian's coach. I think he played on the team the last time they went to state. So there you go. There's my fun fact.
Wow, just reaching in the barrel for that one, Larson.
Yeah, Jason, I think, is a pretty avid listener, so he'll like that one. He's got another good squad this year too.
Good.
I don't know if we're going to talk about him or not, because it was kind of a dubious week for him last week.
Yeah, that's interesting. Roland Story, we mentioned them earlier. Larson, you got anything on Roland Story or South Hamilton for me? You know,
yep. Just two good teams. You know, they're always, again, kind of like what we were talking about. A lot of these teams that we're seeing at the top of 2A are just traditional good teams that kind of just reload every year. I know Roland Story has had just a few great years in a row, and I think this is the year they're all seniors. Am I right, Tony?
Yeah, Jonathan Wilkinson is the star there, but him and both been playing since they were freshmen.
I saw him play this summer. He's a really nice player, really strong.
What about your way, Doug? Eddiesville, Blakeburg, Fremont.
Eddieville, again, the dunking, the warm-ups are outstanding because everybody can dunk except for the point guard. But they're good. They don't play a very good schedule, though, to be honest with you. They kind of beat up on everybody down here, and they'll lose two games. And then when it comes around tournament time is when they kind of get themselves in trouble. But they're good. They're 7-1. Pella Christian beat them pretty bad. Yeah, they've won every other game by 25 or 30 points. And actually, they beat Clark. And I know Clark's been having a decent year. So they're good. And if they're going to do it, this is their year. They kind of lose everybody after this year. So we'll see. Actually, they have Knoxville after the break. So that'll be a big game for them. And then they'll cruise the rest of the year.
What has Pella Christian got coming up? Doug, you got that in front of you?
They're 4-2. They just beat Wilton. Wilton was 5-1 at the time. They beat them by 40 on Saturday. Pella Christian, again, they'll take their lumps just because of the little Hawkeye. They got to play Norwalk and DCG and Pella. But, you know, once it comes down to March, they'll be there. So they're good. The strange thing about Pella Christian is they probably don't have any guards, and usually that's what everybody has. Everybody has guards, but no length. Pella Christian has length everywhere. But they kind of lack, although they have a really solid.
I was going to say, they got one really good guard.
Yes, they do. And Tyson Breeze is tough. Just a tough kid. But once he goes out, they don't have anybody behind him. So that's where they kind of get themselves in trouble a little bit, but they're going to be good. And they are good.
Mm-hmm.
Probably last one here in 2A, Tom Esterville. Know anything on old Esterville, Lincoln Central?
Yes. Just a little bit. I know they, you know, they're, but I hate to, I don't want to say this, but they're kind of a Owen Larson, Troy Larson's son is kind of their go-to guy. He's a South Dakota State recruit. I'm not sure last few years they've really been a hard out. I think they graduated some of the help around, and right now I think they're kind of trying to figure out who else is going to be the supporting cast.
It looks like they lost to Sergeant Bluff by 9.
Yeah.
But beat Storm Lake this past week, and I know they got a good win earlier in the year against Algona too, so they've stepped up and beat a few 3A schools, so be interested to see how they continue to progress. But okay, good. Well, let's slide to 1A then quick and take a look at everything going on in 1A. Doug, the Baxter Bolts,
they're on fire again. They're undefeated. They're 6-0. They have a senior, Trayton Travis, leads the state in scoring 32.5 points a game. My Baxter Bolts are doing it again. We'll see if they can keep it up.
Yeah, that was a fun one that I saw on there. And then we mentioned Earlham getting a good win over Van Meter this past week. They're sitting there at 6-0 as well. Tom, going up your way, you obviously Remsen St. Mary's, Lake Mills. Looks like they're 7-0 sitting up that way. Anything else that you know for me up in 1A?
Well, South O'Brien, my man Kylie Yates up at South O'Brien's undefeated. I think he's got a favorable schedule. He runs that 2-3 zone that nobody wants to see, and Kylie's off to a good start. And then I did get to see North Union. They came down and played Elk Point Jefferson in the Baumgars Classic. And they were undefeated going into that, lost a very close game. I think it was a 2-point win by Elk Point Jefferson. But I liked what I saw. They got a nice squad.
Yeah, good.
St. Mary's has had a not maybe where they've been the last few years. And so same thing with Galen. Both those teams a little bit down this year. So it's going to be interesting to see with 1A up here who can really make some noise.
Tony, going your way, obviously Northland, as always, is sitting right there. But who else your side that you've seen in 1A that might be worth keeping an eye on?
Yeah, Northland's obviously the class of 1A, especially over here. But Bellevue Marquette has been really good to start this year. Have a win over Waterloo East, who isn't great, but they're a really athletic 4A team. They beat them by 16. And then on Friday night, they beat Applington Parkersburg by 13, and AP is always good. They go about 7 or 8 deep, which is kind of rare for 1A basketball. And they've got a lot of kids who can really shoot it, and they're athletic and physical. So they've kind of established themselves as a team to keep an eye out for over here.
Larson, what do you got for me? 1A, somebody jumping out, you know, about Coon Rapids Bayard for me sitting at 8-0.
All right. I wasn't going to go there, but I was going to go to Earlham. Really good guys in coaching. Kevin Williamson is the coach over at Earlham, and he is off to a great start. They are 6-0, and so shout out to them. I don't know. Do they play Coon Rapids at all?
Look, check it out. We talked about Madrid too. I know that they dropped one here, I believe, this week. They're sitting at 6-1. Who did I see that they?
Madrid's got a good team.
West Fork on Tuesday.
Don't know much about them, but they have a big one. It looks like this week with Woodbine. A couple of high 1A teams.
Looking at the schedule, Madrid dropped 1-pointer to Van Meter. Is that you said you saw that, Doug, or what were you going to say?
Yeah, and then they play West Fork this week, so that'll be a good matchup for them too. West Fork's 5-0, so it's going to see what Madrid
Van Meter. Last week.
Yeah. So that's
Earlham and Baxter, Doug. There we go. Me and you right there. I got Earlham. It's coming up after Christmas. After winter break, January 8th. Earlham and Baxter.
Marquette. You might need to make an appearance.
Yeah, there we go. Now we're talking.
There you go. It's a show up with a hoop troop rolling in there. They get everybody get excited. They might have to put you guys in your special seat or something when they see that you guys walking in together.
Special seat would be like the toilet seat or something.
Oh, okay, here comes these guys. They're gonna talk about us on their podcast now. We better get things figured out. That's well, good.
All nice.
Going through, guys, we really covered a lot of teams and touched on many that we kind of see or like so far in the season. Going back, Larson, first 6-8 games. Relax, right? Can't Absolutely. Overreact. Can't overreact just yet. We got to get into break and kind of make a few adjustments and figure some stuff out, right?
Absolutely. You're kind of digging into a little bit of my story time, but
let's go. Let's do it. Story
this
after
what this. It's all about right here. Like the best team. This is where teams are going to separate themselves. This stuff before Christmas. The really good teams and the really good coaches are just identifying their rotations and who does what for them, and they're figuring out their team, and then they're going to go in and use these next 2 weeks over winter break to come out of it as one of the really contenders. And I fully believe that. Every year we had a good season, we'd lose one or two games, and you know, before Christmas, I don't think any of that matters. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's good for you to have that going into winter break, because now you have the focus. And if you are undefeated, you got to figure out a way to get your team to understand that being good before Christmas is not like being good after Christmas.
Absolutely. You know, preseason, especially for a lot of teams, it's audition time. And it's a time for some kids to maybe play themselves out of a rotation. Other kids will play themselves into a rotation. And then you use Christmas time to make your run, you know, prepare for the run.
That's good. That's great advice for some of these teams, whether it's the teams we mentioned that are sitting undefeated and the schedule starts to ramp up and figure a little bit out of where you're at, or the teams that are not sitting at even or something that make go ahead and get an opportunity to make a run here after break. And break is usually welcomed one way or another. It's usually welcome this time of year, whether you're sitting there like, okay, we survived that, or, you know, things are going really good and let's make some few adjustments and get ready to go. And so that's good. Tony, Monaco Minute. who's somebody to kind of keep an eye on here as we're going into break and coming back into the conference season? Who are a couple of players that you maybe have a little focus want to see a little bit more from?
Yeah, so I'll talk about two freshmen since I missed our first podcast. The first one's one that I know Doug likes too. A kid named Briar Putman from Wilton. He kind of burst onto the scene immediately. Had 41 in his varsity debut. He's averaging about 17 and 11 for the Beavers. He's a 6'3", 6'4", just really well put together, athletic kid who can score inside and out. Really nice mid-range game, can do a little bit of everything. And then the other one's Josiah Harrington, 6'4", 6'5", kid from North Scott, who is leading the Lancers in scoring, 15 points a game. He's shooting about 63% from three right now. Seamus Buddy is back on the coaching staff at North Scott now, and I've known him for a long time, and he's never reached out to me about any of his kids. But before the season, he texted me and said, "I've got one that you're going to really, really like." And I talked with him after the game against Assumption and told him that he reminds me of Keegan Murray at that age. So just a really poised, athletic, long kid who shoots the crap out of the ball.
Keegan Murray, goodness gracious. The other night we talked a little bit off air, but obviously going 12 for 15 and 47 points, whatever he had last night for the Kings, pretty impressive. And so if this kid can get to half of that, we're doing something right. So two good ones to keep an eye on, young ones that we'll have a couple more years to kind of pay attention to. So look forward to that. Bets, before we get to you, shout outs. I want to talk real quickly here on the girls' side. Sioux City Heelan girls, talk to me about what we have going up there. So now I'm going to preface this too. Looking at the 4A level, 5A, I think we probably already know where that one's leading in girls' state. It's kind of almost getting to be ridiculous, I think, with where we're at with the old Johnson Dragons there. And so moving to 4A, we got Heelan, and we got Clear Creek Amana, who had a nice win this week over Solon. Dallas Center Grimes, who's always good, been good, has a really good team. Those three teams kind of sit in the top of 4A right now. And so I'd love to hear about Heelan, Coach, and what they got going over there.
I've seen a lot of them, and they are fun to watch. They're deep. They've got, Brooklyn Stanley, who's been in a lot of state tournaments, is going to Northwest Missouri State. But Melina Snoozy is a 5'11", 6-foot freshman that's got, I think, three or four mid-major offers already. Abby Lee is another 6-foot post player returning. They're 6-7 deep, and they are fun to watch. Now, they had a heck of a game this weekend. I was going to bring it up with Estherville Lincoln Central. ELC led that game for three quarters, and then Heelan just kind of, I think, warm out a little bit. But ELC's got two kids, Riley Yeager and Haley Stokes, two juniors that are exceptional players too. And so, I tell everybody in the community, I said, if you haven't seen our girls play, you need to get out and watch them play.
Yeah, that's great. That's a lot of fun. You mentioned Estherville. The Stokes name is no surprise there. Had a few sisters that could really play as well. And so that name is definitely familiar for anyone paying attention.
I do want to give a shout out. Sometimes kids get lost because they're not on a very good team. And sometimes it's really happened with girls basketball, maybe a little bit more. I saw a 6'2 post player, I'm going to give her a little mini shout out today because she's got some skills, and I don't know who's recruiting her. But from Sergeant Bluff Luton is Cammie Van Colesbeek, 6'2 junior or 6'2 senior. My gosh, if that kid had some play, guards around her a little more help. She had a little more help. She's just a nice player. I said I was going to give her a little mini shout out.
I like that. It's a good one. I'll be anxious to see. I'll see what I can find out from an offer, scholarship, who's looking at her type of deal. Yeah. And we'll have to keep an eye on that. Larson, we do have the Norwalk in there as well. Unfortunately, I had to take a long road trip and didn't come back with their first L of the season, I guess you would say. But sitting at 8-1, really, really nice. What's the vibe down that way so far with the
Warriors? Yeah, really good. Really good. They lost tough, and they're up 10 at half to Lewis Central, who has a nice team. They were solid, good team. We'll see on Thursday. They go to DCG, and you know, I just can't say enough about the job that Coach Sigrist is doing with them. And, you know, I think he'd be the first to admit it's happened relatively quick for them, which is okay. I mean, it's good, but I think also Tuesday was a good thing to kind of temper expectations and get back to just trying to get better each day. And so they are doing a wonderful job. I'm really looking forward to seeing kind of the spunk and the fight they have in them on Thursday, because we know Coach Jones and DCG is kind of, I would say, the premier program or one of the premier programs in 4A.
Yeah, that'll be good to kind of see where things are at. Obviously, two teams that know each other well, and kids and student body, so that'll always be fun. As you're talking, Tom, I was looking at Helan's schedule real quick. So they play Dallas Center Grimes and Lamar's back to back here in middle of January.
Yeah.
That'll be two games right there in a row. That, well, and then it looks like Sioux City East as well. The week before.
Yeah, and East is they've been their best player has been out till Christmas. And so that's huge. They got some, and coming down to DCG is going to be a serious challenge, and that's what Coach Coolster wants to do. He wants to make sure that, you know, they've been challenged before the tournament, and they'll get those challenges.
Yeah, that's cool. That's awesome that they're coming down there to see what they can do against a team that they know, regardless, is going to be right there.
Well,
in March.
I'm going to come down that day and make Rankin and Lauk take me out to lunch. I like lunches, okay, if you haven't been able to tell this.
Because why, you're in bed by dinner, or what's usually how this works?
Exactly. I like to go to lunch. It's what I do.
Oh, that's good. That's awesome. So, well, good. A couple good matchups in 4A on the girls' side. So continue to move through. You mentioned Esterville. As we move down to 3A, Esterville, Solon are going to be right there. 4 City, another team to kind of keep an eye on. On the girls' side in 3A, looking at 2A, Dyke New Hartford, as always, is going to be right there. Central Lion, they're sitting at 9-0. Have you seen or anything with them up your way yet, Tom?
No, but I'm going to put it in my notes.
There you go. Central Lion sitting 9-0. I'll be anxious to see kind of what they're able to do up there. I did see Nottoway Valley. I got some ties there. I saw they actually dropped one this year, but they've had a really nice season thus far. Two girls that can really play. So that'll be a team in 2A that I'll definitely kind of keep the senses out for and see what's going on. And then 1A is a little bit of the normal in Newell Fonda, Northland, Remsen St. Mary's up there as well. I'm going to Garrigan, although graduating, obviously, there too, are sitting at 8-1. So be anxious to see what they're able to do up that way. And they got a good win over Algona this past week as well. And so fun things happening on the girls' side as well. A lot of fun things going into break. Can't wait to see what everything shakes out and how things start to pick up in January. But we can't get out of here yet because we need the shout-out. Tom Betts, what's your shout-out? You've really kind of been pulling at the heartstrings lately. Is this shout out going to do the same again, or where are we at?
I'm going to highlight two. One gets a lot more credit than the other. Okay. But I'm calling it the mayors of Morningside. And if you're not from Sioux City, Morningside is not only a college, it's an area of our town. And, one of those mayors is Raz Vanderloo. And I'm giving Raz a shout out because he was just named National Federation High School Iowa Coach of the Year. He doesn't know how it happened, and neither do we. But anyway, no, we love to give Raz a hard time on the show, but he does a lot for our state for basketball. You know, he's a Hawkeye, diehard Hawkeye. So I'm giving Raz one of my Morningside shout outs. And the other one really goes to my former coach, Dan Callahan. Coach Callahan was the Morningside head coach from the early 70s to the mid 80s. Recruited a lot of Iowa kids, took Morningside to the Final Four in NCAA Division II, and passed away last week. And so I know there's a lot across Iowa. There's a lot of former Callahan players.
Very good. That, as always, is a wonderful sentiment and a wonderful shout-out from our coach up, Tom Betts. We appreciate it. Guys, I appreciate everything. We covered a lot. We touched on a lot of teams to keep your eye on here as we go into break and then after break. Once we get at in the first of the year, we'll be picking up Hoop Troop on a weekly basis. Get excited. Woo. Yeah. And then we'll get to start to get into some rankings. We start to really ramp things up when things start to matter. And before you know it, it's going to be March and we're going to be talking about what's going on at the Well. So we're excited for another year and another season of basketball. That's it for us here at the Hoop Troop. We appreciate it as always. Remember, shoot or shoot.